The following message is brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
Come on, praise the Lord, everybody. Hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. 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 I can stand up here today with a smile on my face. Hallelujah. 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 The devil thought he had me, but I got away. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm standing here today. Hallelujah. 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 Don't look at me funny because you haven't always been saved. You probably still ain't saved. Hallelujah. 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 I'ma let go and let God. Hallelujah. 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 I just like to thank God for being the head of my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I may not have given him full reign or full control. Hallelujah. But he is the head of my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can stand here and say that I'm not flawless. Hallelujah. 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 If you flip through these 66 books, if you know how many is in the old and know how many is in the new, all these men and women were not flawless. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They were not flawless. Hallelujah. So I just like to thank God for allowing me to stand here on today. Hallelujah. I give honor to him. Hallelujah. Because it is him that I live and move and have my very being. Hallelujah. Man or woman don't have a heaven or hell to put me in. So I keep my eyes off of them and continue to focus on God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But without further ado, I'm not going to keep you and I'm not going to hold you up. Hallelujah. Because some of you are looking at me kind of strange. Hallelujah. But there is a word for you today. Hallelujah. 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 I'm going to be coming from 1 Kings, the second chapter. Hallelujah. Starting at verse 1 through 4 and verses 10 through 12. Hallelujah. And it's going to be about a man that we all know. Hallelujah. And his name is David. Hallelujah. We know that he was not flawless. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He was full of flaws. Hallelujah. But God. Hallelujah. But God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you have it, say amen. Amen. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Amen. And it reads, "Now the days of David drew near that he should die. And he charged his son Solomon, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and prove yourself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and his testimonies. As it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn, that the Lord may fulfill his word which he spoke concerning me, saying, if your sons take heed to their way to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, he said, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. Verse 10. So David rested with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. The period that David reigned over Israel was 40 years. 7 years he reigned in Hebron, and in Jerusalem he reigned 33 years. Then Solomon sat on the throne of his father David, and his kingdom was firmly established. Dear Heavenly Father, as I humble myself and come to you on today to stand before your people, I ask you, O God, to forgive me of all my sins. I repent, O God, in the name of Jesus, because I do not want to stand before you and your people unworthily, O God. Father, I ask that the words that you speak through me, in me, and through me on today, let it come forth with power, clarity, and most of all, with your anointing, O God. That the people that come listening, hearing, O God, that come impregnated, O God, that come in expectancy, O God, let them get what they need to get on today, O God. That when they leave here on today, O God, that they also will leave changed. And it's in your son Jesus' name I pray. And I give the glory all to you. Amen and amen and amen. And as I was reading and studying and reading and studying and going through, amen, and reading and studying and going through and reading and studying and going through, amen, amen, amen. Some of us don't read and study and we still go through, amen. But as the appointment that I was given, amen, this word to come forth on today, 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 and 10 through 12. And he laid this charge on me and he gave me this subject. And I didn't think that it would be for today. But my wife and I closed on a new home. I'm going to share part of this testimony before I give you this topic, the subject for today. And I was outside cleaning the windows and they were up high. And there was a neighbor next door. He said, those windows haven't been cleaned in quite a few years. So when I heard that and I kept cleaning the windows, God laid in my spirit. He said, no statute of limitations in God by faith. No statute of limitations in God by faith. And I looked up statutes of limitation. And this is whoever knows law. Amen. Amen. I looked it up. Amen. Amen. Statutes of limitations. It is a law which forbids prosecutors from charging someone with a crime that was committed more than specified number of years ago. The general purpose of statutes of limitation, I want you to get this, the general purpose of statutes of limitation is to make sure convictions occur only upon evidence, physical eyewitness that has not deteriorated with time after the period of statute has run. The criminal is essentially F-R-E-E. Amen. Amen. So I went on down. I kept reading it. It says, generally, a legislative enactment prescribing the period of time within which proceedings must be instituted to enforce a right or bring an action at law. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, the devil has a statute of limitations on my life. Amen. Look at your other neighbor and tell them the same thing. The devil has a statute of limitations on my life. Amen. 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 So as I read and studied and went through, all of it wasn't the devil. Amen. Some of it was myself. Amen. Oh, we need to be honest with ourselves. Amen. Some of us will come to church and lie. Hallelujah. We need to be honest with ourselves. Hallelujah. We need to be honest with ourselves. We'll be honest with ourselves. We'll put everything on the enemy, on the adversary. And the very adversary is staring back and forth at you in your mirror. You sitting there putting on your makeup, shaving your face, and that adversary is looking at you. Hallelujah. I'm just going to be transparent today. Amen. Amen. But I'm going to try to get to the message. Amen. So as I studied this message, as he gave it to me, no statute of limitations in God by faith. And he gave me this. He gave me this scripture. And David, as the point of reference, David was talking to his son Solomon here, because Solomon was going to take David's place. But as he talked and shared about what the provisions God has provided for him and how God has kept him, because we know the story of David from the cradle to his grave. Amen. He was a young man after God's own heart. He slew a giant with a slingshot and a stone. He slew a lion. Amen, amen, because he was a shepherd's boy. He was, you could say, a little of nothing. Amen. But to God, he was all he meant him to be. Amen. So David sat there and shared with his son. Amen, amen. He shared his ups and downs and his flaws. And he also shared his the things that God did for him, his blessings also he shared. But David had many enemies. Amen. He had many enemies, and one of his own enemies was his own child, his own son. He set out to kill him. Hallelujah. He wanted to kill his own father. Hallelujah. But God, I can stand here and say today, but God. Hallelujah. David was not a flawless man. And we can, and David, I use David to paint this perpetual example for many of us today. We're not innocent little creatures we make ourselves out to be. We do have flaws. But flaws play a role in each of our lives. Amen. Because if you never made a mistake, how would you know what the correct answer would be? Amen. A lot of us take tests. Some of us are good test takers. Some of us are not. Amen. Some of us fail tests. Why? Because we don't know the answer to everything. Why? Because we are flawed. Why? What do you mean you're flawed? Because some of us can look at something for about 30 seconds, take a test, and make a passing grade. Some of us, it takes a week or maybe two. That's why when a teacher gives a test, she'll tell you she's going to give a test on Monday, and on Friday you still can't pass the test. Why? Because you can't comprehend it. We are flawed. Amen. But David, we're going to get back to David. They keep us humble because you're not perfect. You were created from the dust of this earth, so that means there is sin in it. Amen. When Satan was cast out of heaven, where was he cast? He was cast to this earth. Amen. And there is sin in this earth. You were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Now here's David giving his son some godly advice, a charge, so to say. And in verse 3, he was telling his son, well, he started in verse 2, I go the way all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and prove yourself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord. The first charge he gave to Solomon was to walk in his ways. And when he said his, the H is capitalized. So that means he was speaking in reference to God. Walk in his ways. So when I studied and it came to my remembrance, he gave me Enoch. Walk in his ways. Genesis 5, verses 21 through 24. And there were several examples I could have used, but Enoch stood out. So Enoch walked, and I'm reading, and this is from the Amplified version. And Enoch, when Enoch was 65 years old, Methuselah was born. And Enoch walked in habitual fellowship. Now we going back to the law. Amen. How many of us know what a habitual offender is? An habitual offender is someone who commits the same crime or like crime three times. That's all the law will allow him to commit it, three times. And what happens after that three times? They literally throw the book at him. They'll give him life for 25 years. They literally give him a lifetime sentence for that habitual sentence. But God, Enoch walked in habitual fellowship with God after the birth of Methuselah, 300 years, and had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked in habitual fellowship with God until he was and was not. For God took him home with him. Enoch spent 365 years on earth, but about 5,310 years in heaven. Al-Silah, Hebrews 11 and 5. Keep a pen right there because we're going there. So Enoch walked, he's 5,310 years in heaven. Hebrews 11 and 5 gives us that. Amen. But as David, we continue to go on. David gave his son another charge to keep his statutes. Keep his statutes. And another one rang to mind. Job came to my mind. Good old brother Job. Amen. Job in his instances was a prime example to characterize the keeping of God's statutes. And if you don't believe me, you can go to Job chapter 1 and read it through verse through chapter 42. Job 1, chapter 1, Job 42, all 42 chapters. There was a man in the land, and this is Job chapter 1, verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless and upright, and one who reverently feared God and abstained from and shunned evil because it was wrong. There was a man in the land of Uz. And here it says in the Amplified version, it says reverently. Reverently. That means continuously. Flawlessly, on and on, reverently. Anything that he could think of that he thought was a sin against God, he sacrificed. He sacrificed to God. Amen. But we're going to get to the part where the enemy, a good old Satan, the adversary, the one we always blaming, amen, who walks to and fro, seeing and seeking whom he may devour. Amen. He got an audience with God. Now we know, we don't think so, but he does have access to God. Yes, he does. Why do you say that? Because he's one of the fallen angels that was cast from heaven. Amen. He has access to God, but there's one thing he can't do. He cannot reign there. He cannot take up his abode there. He can no longer stay there. He has access, but he can no longer stay. Amen. He can no longer stay. So when he and God, he saw him. God saw him, saw the adversary there. Amongst his angels, his chosen ones. He was like, what are you doing here? He said, I've been walking to and fro the earth. And he said, seeking whom he may devour. God was like, have you considered my servant Job? Now, mind you, God is not testing Job. God isn't testing Job. We have to make this clear. God does not test us. He is not testing Job. That it's the adversary who wants to know what our motives are. Why are we serving God? What's your motive behind serving God? So the enemy came in. He took everything from Job. He started with his flock and the servants. And notice every time there was only one servant coming. There wasn't three or four coming to Job to let him know what was happening. There was only one. He would only leave one to tell the story. He would only leave one to tell the story. And out of the four instances that came about, there was only four servants left to tell it. One for each instance. One for the flock. One for the killing of the servants. One for the death of his children. Amen. And one for all his belongings. Everything that he had. But there was one thing that Job was left with. And that was his health. His health. And what did Job do in spite of all of this circumstances that happened to him? He continued to worship God. He never took his eye off the prize. And that's where we have to get. He kept the statutes. Even though all the things were going on, he kept the statutes. His sons and daughters went, they gathered together at each other's houses to have dinner day after day. Not Job. What did Job do? He sacrificed. He stayed home and he sacrificed because he knew in his heart. He said, Lord, I'm going to sacrifice to you because I don't know what one of my children may have done to sin against you. So Job continued to sacrifice to God. So Job kept the statutes to God. Even after all the circumstances have happened to Job, he still kept the statutes. He didn't curse God after his wife told him, why don't you just curse God and die? His friends came to him. What have you done for God to do this to you? Job continued to worship God. Amen. Amen. And Job kept the statutes. He didn't allow these things to get him off of his focus when it came to God. Amen. Amen. So when we allow these things to adhere us from God, guess what? We lose our focus. And that makes the enemy comes in. Amen. The word lets us know that an idle mind is the devil's playground. It is. Because we start thinking all these evil thoughts. Amen. Amen. We don't know right from wrong. Or amen. We can't tell good from evil anymore. Amen. Because our mind now has been judged, has been clouded. And now we can't make the right judgments and make the right decisions. But Job stayed in his right mind. Amen. It never said Job lost his mind because he continued to worship God. Through all the circumstances and situations. Amen. Amen. So as it is written in verse 1, Satan knew that God gave him an accurate description of who Job was. But Satan, amen, was trying to question Job's motives. The hedge around Job represented God's all protection of his children. I'm learning that a godly man is invincible to the adversary until God is finished with him. The adversary has nothing to do with you or I until God is finished with us. If God never gets done with us, the adversary has no power, no control, no victory over none of our lives. Amen. God does not order Satan to test us. He is limited by God. Who God has no limits. Instead of Job turning his back on God, he worshiped him even after losing two of life's most prized possessions, family and wealth. Family and wealth. We will build our hopes up on our family and on our wealth. The Bible tells us, his word tells us, that we should wear this world as a loose garment. But we can't do that. Amen. We won't do that. We want to take it behind. We want to take it with us to our graves. But I've never seen a U-Haul behind a hearse. And I've seen a lot of funerals. I've never seen a U-Haul behind a hearse carrying your belongings to your grave. Amen. But Job, after losing life's most prized possessions, this is the worldly possessions, family and wealth, he still remained upright, but he was left with his health. He was left with his health where he can continue to worship and praise God. God told the enemy, you can do anything you want to him, but you can't take his life. Amen. You can do anything you want to him, but you can't take his life. So as he did all he wanted to him, God knew as long as Job had breath in his body, that he was going to praise him. Amen. That he was going to praise him. So the enemy, he right then, he didn't have a foothold. He had no way in hell of winning that battle. Amen. Amen. And as David continued to give these instructions to his son, he laid these charges to him. The next one, keep his commandments. Amen. Amen. And y'all know where I'm going next, right? I read from the book of Exodus to Deuteronomy. And there was a man in there by the name of Moses. Amen. Amen. That over and over and over and over and over and over, the word continued to ring out to me. And God spoke to Moses. And God spoke to Moses. And God spoke to Moses. So the commandments he gave to Moses on Mount Sinai, and there were 10 of them. Amen. From Exodus to Deuteronomy, Moses was given an assignment. Well, I'll go back as far as his birth. It started with the suffering of Israel in Egypt because of their bondage due to their disobedience to God. When we don't listen to God or we allow our selfish acts to get us in over our heads, God in his infinite wisdom and power always makes a way through something or someone. In this instant, it was Moses. We know Moses' story, how he was a king. He was a king. He was in to be king by the queen that raised him as her own son, Pharaoh's daughter. Amen. But as a Hebrew, the time will come when God calls one of his own to tell the Pharaoh to let God's people go. So, amen. Now I'm speaking to us, amen, as a whole. There will be a time well, God will come to one of us and come to us and tell us, God said, let my people go. Amen. Amen. And I can attest to that because I have friends and family that will allow me or will tell me when I am doing wrong and when I'm doing right. Amen. And they will do it with love and kindness. Because his word says, through love and kindness have I drawn thee. I can't win someone going to them looking and smelling like an onion. Amen. Because how many of us have ever peeled an onion? It will make you cry. It will make you cry. Some of us may have grown immune to it. Amen. Because that's just us. We're just as mean as the onion. Amen. But to some of us, it will make us cry. Amen. But we have grown, and it will. Because if you come to me like an onion, you may get a response like an onion. Amen. I'm just being transparent. Amen. Amen. So, but to God be the glory. I'm still striving for perfection. Amen. I can't stand here and tell you how to live holy. Amen. If I've never been through something and never been through something and accomplished something. Amen. And overcame something. Amen. I can't stand here and tell you how I accomplished it and how I got through it if I can't be truthful to you. Amen. Amen. So we have to be truthful. Amen. Amen. The truth will stand. The Bible tells us, and God says it in his word, that a liar will not tarry in my sight. Amen. So I can appreciate someone telling me the truth. Why? Because it gives me a chance to fix that. That's within me. Amen. That I can fix that within me. If you can't stand someone telling you the truth, then I'll say it just like this. His word says that a liar won't tarry in his sight. And you can forget about me dwelling and playing in a pig pen with you if you want me to lie with you. Amen. Because I don't like smelling like pig. Amen. But as Moses, amen, I'm going to get back to it. But as God sent Moses to tell Pharaoh to let his people go, Moses was chosen for the task, which seemed impossible, but that was possible with God. God was with Moses, and he spoke to him face to face. Moses became God's mouthpiece in the release of God's people from captivity. But as mumbling and complaining people that we are, God had to silence the doubt and unbelief. So in Exodus 34, God has Moses to cut out two stones as he broke the first two. But the confirming factor was the Lord spoke unto Moses. Moses and God had a dialogue. They spoke back and forth. God would give Moses instructions, or he would charge Moses with telling the people with what thus saith the Lord. And Moses was faithful in the instructions of God. Moses wrote the commandments on paper, but God hewed them in the stone. Adam didn't have any commands. Amen. Adam didn't have any commands because at first he didn't need them. Well, let's go to Genesis, the beginning, where he created Adam. There was no sin in the earth. There was no sin. Adam didn't need the commandments. The commandments didn't come until the Mount Sinai experience with Moses and God. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Noah, Enoch. Wait a minute. None of these had the commandments. But to Adam didn't need the commandments. Because it was just, when God made the earth, it was just him and Eve. He didn't need the commandments. He didn't have to worry about committing adultery. He didn't have to worry about killing or coveting his neighbor. There was no other God but the God that he knew. His creator. Until the fruit. Amen. But Adam didn't need it. So that's why God always needs a mouthpiece. Amen. For us. Because sometimes we get in our stubborn selves. We can't hear the person sitting next to us. But it takes a stranger. Someone that we've never seen or don't even know from a can of paint. I could have brought a can of paint in here today with no label on it and no spots to let you know what color was in it, and you couldn't tell what was in that can. You wouldn't know if it was paint, water, glue, paste, sand, gravel. You would have never known. Amen. But God knows the heart of his people. So he knows who to put. So he knows who to put in your circle. The person that you've always crying that, you know, he don't never speak to me, or he don't never talk to me. Good. Or she don't never speak to me, or she don't never call me. Good. That's God's way of saying you don't need that person in your circle. Amen. That's not the one for you. Amen. So that's why he always has a way of escape for us. There's always an escape plan for us when it comes to God. The God Almighty, the God that we serve, the God that we say we for God we live and for God we die. Amen. He always has a way of escape. Amen. The commandments, amen, the Ten Commandments, not known to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the other fathers until Moses on Sinai, Deuteronomy 5 and 23, or Israel until Sinai. Amen. Israel didn't even know the commandments until after God gave them to Moses on Mount Sinai. Amen. But that Moses kept the commandments. Amen. He kept the commandments. He walked in the commandments. And after Moses' death, amen, God took Moses up on the mount to look over what the people of Israel was coming into. Amen. But Moses never got to see. Amen. He never got to live in it. All he got to do was see it. Amen. Amen. And amen. When Moses died, the enemy, the Satan himself, and an angel contended for his body. Contended for his body. And all that angel did, he never laid an accusation towards Satan. He never blasphemed his brother. He never went out after church. He smiled in his face and talked behind his back. Amen. He never laid a willing accusation to him. All he said was, "The Lord God rebuked thee." Amen. And kept going. Amen. Amen. But as we continue to walk in these statutes, in these charges that has been laid before us, amen, that God has placed people in our lives, and he gives us charges after charge after charge after charge after charge, and we continue to rebel and rebel and rebel and rebel and rebel, then he is going to turn us over to that reprobated mind, to where he's going to take his hand off of us, and we're going to think we're walking godly, but we're actually walking in sin. Amen. And as David continued to talk to his son, he laid another charge to him. He said, keep his judgments. Keep his judgments. Keep his testimonies. Not as man might like to keep them, but as they are written in the law of Moses. But he also told his sons things to look out for and people he should look out for and keep an eye on. David is warning his son of the enemies that David actually had as king. But David was like, he was telling his son Solomon, okay, now Solomon, thus, thus, and thus. But when I am gone, I don't know what these people are going to do to you. I don't know what my enemies are going to do to you. So what I want you to do is you take them out before they take you out. Amen. So he literally told his son, hey, beware. Beware of these people because I don't know what they're going to do to you. But back to the five charges that David gave to Solomon. As Moses got the commandments on Mount Sinai, I kept thinking and I kept reading and I kept reading it over and over and over. And he gave me, and he showed me the 40 years that King David reigned. He broke it down to me. Amen. He broke it down to me. Amen. And he also showed me Jesus, our Savior, our salvation has come. David reigned was for 40 years as a king. 7 of those years were over Judah, and 33 of those years were over Israel. Now 7, meaning perfection or rest, amen, amen, and 33, which is connected to the promises of God, which is also seen at Jesus' death, which was Jesus' age. Amen. His sacrifice was the fulfillment of countless prophecies and promises concerning the Savior of man. Amen. So as we use David as a canvas, because if you look at it, think about the lineage. Jesus was of David's lineage. Amen. He was his ancestor. Amen. So God used this connection, hallelujah, to bring the two together. Jesus the Savior and David the King, who slayed the giant, amen, Goliath, when all the captains of the army were afraid. But David, the little shepherd boy, amen, with a slingshot and a smooth stone, slew the largest giant in Israel's history. Amen. And Jesus, as he carried the cross to Calvary, slew the largest giant in man's history, sin. S-I-N. The largest giant in man's history. Jesus slayed it. Amen. Never mumbled or complained as we did. One moment, they were all for him because he was raising their people from the dead, opening blind eyes, blessing them, amen, countlessly. But the moment their faith was put to the test, they began to backpedal. I don't know him. I don't know the disciples that he's with. Even one of his own disciples betrayed him. One of his own disciples. Before the rooster could crow 3 times, he had done denied him. His very own. His very own people. The ones who say, I love you. I love you. And one betrayed him with a kiss. The very people that say, we love you, I love you, I love you, could be the very ones that betray you in the end. Amen. So as David was teaching his son to be watchful, to be mindful, to be careful, amen, of your surroundings and who you put in your inner circle, amen, 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 who you keep in your inner circle, amen. And the last part of it, the limits of the no limits of statutes, none in God, but by faith. In Hebrews 11, I want everybody to turn your Bibles to Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Amen. And by faith, all these things were done. Amen. And as I'm reading from the New King James Version, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtain a good testimony. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. Moses walked by faith, because God gave him a charge. He carried it out by faith. Enoch walked with God by faith till he was and was not by faith. Amen. Job walked with God by faith because he hated evil. He hated evil. So he sacrificed everything. Whatever he thought was sin, Job sacrificed to it. He walked in faith. He continued to walk in faith, no matter what his circumstance or situations was. But as we look at the faithful men and women of the Bible, Abel's more excellent sacrifice to God more righteous sacrifice to God was by faith. Noah, when God made a covenant with him after being warned, build the ark by faith. Daniel, in the lion's den, God shut the lion's mouth by faith. The three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, was thrown into the fiery furnace. But they told the king, no matter what you do to us, we're still going to serve God by faith. Amen. Enoch, translated, because he pleased God, was his testimony by faith. Amen. Abraham, when he was called to go out, he obeyed God by faith. Abraham, when he was told to sacrifice his son to God, he did it by faith. Sarah received strength to conceive seed by faith. Amen. Joseph mentioned the children of Israel departing Egypt by faith. Moses, when he was born, was hidden by faith. Amen. Everything comes by your faith. Amen. Abraham, statutes of limitations are limited to the enemy as long as you are faithful to God. Amen. The statutes of limitations will run out when it comes to the law of the land. Amen. There are some statutes of limitations that don't run out now. And I'll read them to you. Murder being one of them. We can murder our brothers and sisters with our mouth. We don't even have to put them to death. We can kill them with our mouth. There's no statutes of limitations to that. Sex offenders, crimes of violence, kidnapping, arson, forgery have no statutes of limitations. And when there's kidnapping, arson, forgery, sometimes we can steal from God. Amen. We can commit a burglary against God by not paying our tithes, by not coming to Bible study, by not coming to Sunday school. Amen. By not praying, by not reading his word, by not fasting. There's things we could do to God to rob him. It said so in the Bible. Will a man rob God? And it clearly says, where have I robbed thee? In your tithes and your offerings. But he also says in Malachi 3, he says, if you try me, see, won't I open up a window of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you will have no room to receive? Amen. Amen. But that's by your faith. That's by your faith. Where there's no faith, there's no limitations. No statutes of limitations when it comes to the adversary. But as long as you stay faithful in God, the enemy has no control, has no victory, cannot proceed, or cannot deceive you when God is in control. So let's stay faithful to God's word. Let's stay faithful in whatever he places our hands to do, whatever he puts our hands to do. Let's stay faithful to that. Amen. 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 We may not be where we want to be right now. Amen. Amen. We may not all be saved. We may all not may not be to where God wants us to be yet. But through the things that we learn and the process that we go through, we're going to get there. Amen. As long as we stay faithful to God, keep our hands to the plow. Amen. And keep our feet on that straight and narrow path. Amen. God will keep faithful to us if we stay faithful to him. Amen. In Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through 14, it shares the blessings that God blessed his people, how he blessed his people, why he blessed his people. Amen. Amen. So when you are faced with trials and tribulations and tragedies, amen, he gave me this. He said, wear your tragedies as armor, not shackles. Ephesians 6 and 11, put on the whole armor of God. Wear your tragedies as armor and not as shackles. the doors of the church are open. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message.